Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those of you who know me won't be surprised when I say that I'm really looking forward to the heavens and the new earth. I really am. When this tired old world is cleansed and repaired. But as you may have noticed, this hasn't quite happened yet. It is still here and now. So let me ask you a question. In the sort of world in which we still live, what do all of the following things have in common? Here's a list. Vegetable gardens, physical fitness, retaining walls, important relationships, and unity in the church. What do they have in common? The answer is, none of them are stable. None of them remain as they are. The sort of world in which we live now is a world in which all of these things erode. They need care, and sometimes, no matter how hard you work, it's not enough. Because retaining walls collapse, fitness declines, relationships stagnate, and the church's unity seems a fragile thing at best. Now, of course, St. Paul knows this, and that's why he writes letters to encourage believers to forgive one another and to be at peace. And later, actually, in Ephesians, Dr. Burrison read from Ephesians 2, but in chapter 4, he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The church's life and our life together needs regular and constant care. That's the sort of world we live in. Now, maybe you're sort of feeling that right now in your life, and maybe you're not. Maybe you're getting a bit of a breather. So for instance, I was kind of thinking about the SMP brothers now who are finishing course 116, and maybe you're feeling like you're getting a bit of a breather. They began their studies in 2011, they're finishing now, and I know it breaks your heart, but no more journals, right? No more reading except what you want to read. For the rest of you students, you're still under our thumb. No, but you've received, you're finishing. It's a milestone. I really hope it's a day of satisfaction and gladness and achievement. And so you'll go home today, or maybe tomorrow, or soon. But you'll find, of course, that the world is still that sort of world, that challenges will come and divisions will rise and peace will seem far away. And it's no different for any of us until the day when Christ returns. Until then, that's the world we live in. So the question is, how shall we live in that sort of world? How can we keep the unity in the bond of peace now? I invite you, again, to live in light of what Paul says when he begins verse 13, but now. He begins verse 13 by saying, but now, even before the new world fully arrives, now we can believe, now we can live as if something new has happened, something that nothing can take away. That peace and unity that can seem so fragile actually exists, and because of what God has done in Jesus, it can remain. Now, in verses 11 and 12, the very first part of the reading, Paul sort of very quickly describes how it used to be for the mostly Gentile readers. He says, look, this is how it was. You were separated from Christ. You were alienated. You were far away from God's people. You, he says, had no hope. There was no peace. All you could feel was the way the world still is. But then Paul says, But now, because of Jesus, it's different. Now you can believe in this. Now you can live in that difference. Now. So what is true now? What does Paul say? In a way, the answer is very simple. He simply says, He is our peace. Jesus himself is our peace. It was true in Paul's day, it's true now in our day. Jesus is our peace. But what exactly does that mean? And how does Paul unpack it in this reading? Well, the opposite of peace is division, separation, alienation. But Jesus is our peace, and Paul says something remarkable. He says that the things that divide and separate, the really big things, like the law that used to separate Jew from Gentile, like the alienation that once separated us and all people from God, he says that Jesus broke those things down. He tore them down. He destroyed all of those divisions, and he says he did it in his flesh. Now, I confess that I don't exactly know how to describe that, except I believe it. That Jesus took all the divisions, all the separations, all the alienations, he took them into his own flesh, and he destroyed them there. The opposite of peace is hatred, hostility. But Jesus is our peace, and St. Paul declares to us that Jesus has killed the hatred. He has killed the hostility in his body, he says. In his body, through the cross, the hatred in the world that we still know is what killed Jesus. But somehow, in God's plan, the hatred that killed Jesus is precisely what Jesus took into his body. And there he killed it. He killed the hostility. Jesus is our peace. And risen from the dead, Jesus came and he preached peace. He did it in the upper room long ago. Peace be with you. He does it through his messengers, and blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. He's doing it right now through me. This promise is for the coming days of ministry, for relationships and oneness in the Lord. And when the divisions rise, and when the hatred or the hostility starts to come, then take it and put it into the wounds of Jesus. Leave it in the body of Jesus. For all of the struggles in a world still waiting for Jesus to return, you and I can believe this promise, that Jesus has torn down the things that divide us. The hostility is over. Jesus has killed it. Now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We sing the hymn.